no. The Irish cream sounds good, huh? What's that?
It's cream and it's Irish.
Hurry up and order!
Excuse me. Thank you.
How about a smoothie? What's in that?
Smoothie's a juice drink. We want coffee.
Buddy, relax.
No, you relax. I'm a regular here. This line needs to move.
I beg your pardon. Do you have scones?
Tall, non-fat, double latte.
Sir, you're at the back of the line.
I recognize that.
Cut it out or you're out of here.
You can't kick me out.
You know what? You're really invading my ear space.
Look, I'm a frequent coffee drinker. I'm part of the club. I have a card. Do you have a card? Do you have a card?
No, I don't have
Does
a card.
Does anyone here have a card?
We don't have frequent drinker cards.
That's a video club card.
Ah!
Zip it there, Sporty Spice.
Are we doing this?
Oh.
Is this happening now?
Yeah. Come on,
sir.
Great. I'd
Let's
love
do
to.
It. Come on.
You're hurting me. You're hurting me.
Don't mess with a man's coffee. In our video clip, we see a good example of unrighteous anger expressed in an unhealthy manner that destroyed a relationship between two people before it got started and also caused collateral damage to those exposed to the confrontation. Now, this anger was funny because it was staged. But it isn't normally funny when we express our anger in unhealthy ways. It isn't good for us. It isn't good for the target of our anger. It isn't good for those exposed to our outbursts. And mom and dads, the damage we can do to our kids exposed to our ongoing ugly outbursts can be devastating and have lifelong negative consequences. But I hope that we've all started to see some improvement already as we are in week 3 of biblical communication. If you missed either or both of the first 2 weeks' sermons, please go to our website and catch up. You can also ask one of our AV techs to help you get a CD if that works better for you. Last week we began to learn how to deconstruct our unhealthy anger. And this week we're going to complete deconstructing our anger, and we're going to transition to beginning to construct righteous, healthy anger. Yes, righteous, healthy anger. The name of my sermon is Toward Healthy Expressions of Anger. We're making a transition today. We're turning the corner. And today I will review a little bit of what we learned last week, that we choose how we express our anger. Number 2, help you categorize your own unhealthy expressions of anger. Yes, I'm putting you to work again this week. And finally, I'll finish up by constructing what healthy, constructive anger looks like, to set a vision for where we're going for the rest of the sermon series. And we are on a journey together to be able to express our anger in a way that worships God. Yes, we can express our anger in a way that worships God, shows we value other people the way God values them, and actually improves our relationship with others. Now, that might seem like a bridge too far. It's not. And I want to make clear that I am on this journey with you. I have taught this material over the last 5 years, one-on-one, in small groups, preaching over about 2 or 3 dozen times. And I'm continuing to learn more every single time, and I'm continuing to apply more of it to my own life. Now, I'm sure I'm further down the road on applying this than some of you, but I'm also sure that some of you are further down the road than me in applying this. So I just want you to make sure we're on this journey together. I have not arrived. So let's get busy and do the most important thing we're going to do in this sermon right now. We're going to pray. Please bow your heads. Lord, soften our hearts right now. Lord, there's no doubt that some of us came here today mad, maybe even with one or more people we came with. Lord, help us to rid ourselves of the junk we carry in our souls, all of our selfishness and self-centeredness, and help us to express our anger in healthy, godly ways. Lord, give me clarity and precision so that I might represent your word accurately. May not one of us leave here today the way we came. We pray thus, in the name of our healthy communicating Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and all the people said. Okay, let's begin. Number 1, this is review. We choose how we express our anger. We choose how we express our anger. Remember, this is very important, that God gave us the ability to get angry. It was God who gave us the ability to get angry. Anger actually is alarm that we don't like what's going on. It's an alarm. Imagine that God installed in each of our brains this thing called a balance, you know, with one of these. And on one side is my expectations, and on the other side of the balance is my perception of reality, of what I think is going on. And this side, my expectations, what I want to happen, and what I think is really going on. Now, when my perception of reality doesn't match up to my expectations, how do I feel? Angry, right? That's just the way God has intended it to be. Yes, we experience anger. We experience it. In Ephesians 4:26, it says, "In your anger, do not sin." Now, I want to tell you something. I want you to notice that the Apostle Paul uncouples the experience of anger from the expression of anger. He uncouples the experience of anger from the expression of anger. And it is critical that we differentiate between these two things. The experience of anger is something that happens to each of us. It happens to me. I feel anger. That is my experience of anger. However, what's very different is how I express it to others. Those are two different things. Two different things. I feel, I experience anger, but then I express it, project it out. Two different things, and it's important to uncouple those things. We can choose to project our anger in a godly, healthy way, or we can choose to project our anger in a sinful, unhealthy way, a very destructive way, and that's what Paul warns us against in this verse. Now, a man at Youth Challenge said on Wednesday to me, he said, "My loud outbursts of anger are instinctive." And I looked at him and I said, "No, you're wrong. You're wrong. God didn't program into you how to express your anger. That is something you learned. Probably at home, probably at a very young age. It's not instinctive. God didn't give you the way to express it. You learned how to do it. And so that's actually good news. Because if it's something that you learned, even if it's unhealthy, that means it's something you can unlearn and replace it and learn some good, positive way to express your anger. Isn't that good news? Yeah, that's great news. So first of all, we must understand, we choose how to express our anger. We may have given up that choice, or it might become so automatic, but no question, the experience of anger and the expression of anger are two different things, and we get to choose how we express it. So number two, what I want to do is now help you categorize your own godly, ungodly expressions of anger. So please take out your bulletins right now. Everybody, take out your bulletins. There's a large blank sheet in your bulletin. And please find something to write with. Now, if you're just going to sit there, you're not going to get as much out of it than if you have something to take home with you and look at. You're going to learn a lot more. You're going to gain a lot more if you engage the material. Now, on the left-hand side of that page, I'm going to go through three types of unhealthy anger. And each has various characteristics. I want you to write down the name of each anger and the various characteristics that you actually employ. And what you'll see from these three unhealthy, you'll find a pattern there. You may have various characteristics from each of those, but one will predominate most likely. But I want you to write down on this paper all of those characteristics of the three that you engage in. Okay, got it? Type A. We're going to call this the battered spouse type of anger. And it's characteristic normally of someone who is codependent. Now, Codependency may be really, it's a spectrum. You may have some characteristics, but not be what a psychologist would call codependent. But you might have these characteristics. A codependent person takes care of others' needs at the expense of their own. If this is you, you tend to take on responsibility for others to the extent that it enables them to avoid taking responsibility for themselves. You enable others to continue the destructive behavior. Codependent people are people who can't say no and have very poor boundaries. This person is often susceptible to abuse. My husband wouldn't have beat me up if I didn't burn the eggs. That's the kind of thinking. This person is clinging and insecure about relationships. If you're overly dependent on the other people's opinion of you, you may be codependent. Self-esteem is based on others' opinion of you. And parents, you may not discipline your children as you should because you want them to like you. You keep bailing out your kids instead of letting them suffer natural consequences so that they can learn on their own and take action. Teens, you might let your boyfriend or girlfriend walk all over you because you so badly want to be loved. So here are some of the characteristics of this person's expression of anger. This is what I want you to write down if they apply to you. If you can do this at least some of the times. Number one, anger is turned inward itself. Anger is expressed inward, not outward. You tend to blame yourself. Whenever my expectations aren't met, it's my fault. You are a denier that anything is wrong, at least outwardly. Anger is suppressed. You are a conflict avoider, par excellence. You will do anything not to ruffle anyone else's feathers. And you are tolerant of inappropriate behavior of another, even to the extent that it might be abuse. So if you can go in that direction when you get angry, write each of those down that apply to you. Now, these people get angry. I want you to know that. These people get angry, but it's bottled up and targeted itself. You might not know when this particular person is angry, if it's not you. But we all know when this next person gets angry. Type B is locomotive anger, aggressive anger. Remember, once a locomotive gets going, it's hard to stop and removes anything in its path. Anybody ever seen a movie, Runaway Train? Yeah, that's how somebody's anger can be. Okay, here's the characteristics of this type of anger. You can be hostile. What that means is you actually show ill will toward the other person, even someone you say you love. You have rage. You can tend to lose control, this means. Behavior can become irrational. Doesn't make sense. You can get violent or possibly threaten violence or harm the other person or persons. And it might not be just physical harm. You can get to be critical. In other words, you start picking apart the other person. It can be punishing. You inflict physical, emotional, relational, or spiritual harm on another, or at least threaten it. And it doesn't even have to be the person that your anger is targeted at. You might be mad at this person, but everyone around pays for it. You're quick to blame others. It's never your fault. You have all the answers when you're angry. You use hurtful, blatant sarcasm. Yeah, you look good in those pants, like your mom. You can get into cruel teasing. Combative, actually look for more to argue about. Or if consistently angry, then you might have few intimate friends. No one really wants to be around you all that much because they don't know when the mountain's going to blow. Okay, again, if those are you, write down the ones that can be you when you're angry. King Saul got so angry at his son Jonathan, if you remember, in 1 Samuel 20, 30 to 33. King Saul was supposedly trying to protect Jonathan's future claim to the throne, but Jonathan was cozying up to David, and Saul didn't like that. 1 Samuel 20 to 33, Saul's anger flared up at Jonathan. He said to him, you son of a perverse and rebellious woman. As long as the son of Jesse, meaning David, lives on earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Now send and bring him to me, for he must die. Jonathan answers him, why should he be put to death? What has he done? Jonathan asked his father, but Saul hurled his spear at him to kill him. His son, who's trying to protect his throne, what's he do? He tries to kill him. I put that in the irrational category. Now, if this is your predominant anger type, many times after you cool down, you feel remorse for the way you acted. You know you lost control, and you were out of control. Type C is the quiet aggressor. This is normally a passive-aggressive person. This person's a little bit different. You know when that other guy's mad at you. This person, you're not so sure, because this person gives mixed messages. You give indicators that you are mad, but you foster confusion. People will ask you, is something wrong? No, I'm fine. No, everything's okay. Or you can give the silent treatment. Well, can we talk about it? No, I don't want to talk about it. Your aggression toward others comes in the form of what you don't do. For example, procrastination. You tend to always put off what you committed to do for the person because you're mad at them. You put it off. Or you can get very forgetful. Oh, I completely forgot that I was supposed to help you move today. I'm sorry. Or you can be late. I'm not going to be prompt for that jerk. Or you make excuses for your behavior. Oh, I'm sorry I can't make it. I have to rearrange my paper clips today. Or you use subtle sarcasm. It's not so blatant. Pastor, your sermon was so good today, I didn't even need my fourth cup of coffee. And here's a myth I want to dispel. That the quiet aggressor anger, although not perfect, is still better than locomotive anger. That isn't true. A lot of people I know have locomotive anger, become a Christian, and they think they're doing good because now it becomes passive anger. Not true. It can be every bit as destructive. It's destructive because issues aren't even known. They're not surfaced. So the quiet aggressor just sees inside. Just sees, and their anger builds and builds. I had a guy one time tell me he was a hunter. He said, when somebody gets me, I'm a hunter. You know, I'm in the weeds. They don't know when I'm coming, but I get them. Oh, okay, I might be your friend. In the Bible, one of King David's sons, Amnon, rapes his half-sister. Tamar's biological brother, Absalom, finds out about it. Here's what it says in 2 Samuel 13:22. Absalom never said a word to Amnon, either good or bad. He hated Amnon because he had disgraced his sister, Tamar. Was the anger righteous? His anger, his experience of anger, was it righteous? Well, certainly. But his expression was really not good because it says, 2 years go by in Samuel 13:28, Absalom ordered his men, listen, when Amnon is high in spirits from drinking wine and I say to you, strike Amnon down, then kill him. Then kill him. This is just as destructive, this type of anger, as the other one. So you should have a list of all those ones, and you might have some from each various anger type, but that's okay. You may have a type that predominates, maybe not. But I want to tell you this. All of the anger types are destructive, and I want to tell you all of the anger characteristics are wrong. I'd say even sinful. They're all not healthy behaviors. Whatever you have on your list, those are not healthy behaviors. They hurt you. They hurt the other person. They hurt your relationship with the other person. They can cause collateral damage to those around you. The collateral damage we need to be most concerned about is the damage that we can do to our children who watch and hear all of this. Remember, your children are learning to do anger from you, parents. They're learning to do anger from you. And it may be, you know, unless you teach them otherwise, it may become automatic for them for the rest of their lives. And that's not good. If it's unhealthy anger, if you're expressing your anger in a healthy way, that's good. I actually tell, I always ask when we do premarital counseling with the couple, and I said, how did your parents do anger? You know, what was, you know, and they each tell, many of them will say, well, when my parents got angry, we got under the sofa. We hid. Others would say, our parents never really resolved anything. We avoided conflict in our family. That's good. You know what? In a healthy marriage, in a healthy family, get caught dealing with conflict. Let your kids catch you and do it in a healthy way. That teaches them a good thing. So the last thing, these anger types, these anger characteristics also affect our relationship with God. When we hurt God's kids, whom he made in his own image and sent his son to die for them, we hurt God. And God loves the people that we can have unhealthy anger expressions against. He loves them. And it hurts his heart to see what we can do to each other. Now, at this point, you now know all you need to know about unhealthy anger from what you learned last week and what you learned so far this week. You've got everything you need to know about unhealthy anger, and you've worked hard, some of you, to understand yourself. Now, what I want you to do is to tell the person on the right and tell the person on the left, I'm saying goodbye to unhealthy anger. Go ahead, tell them. Tell them, I'm done with it. Camille, your little baby's going, what? What? Now let's look at the characteristics of healthy expressions of anger. I want these to describe you and me. So let's pray for these things right now for all of us here. Lord, help us to become the godly men and women you want us to be. Let us now begin to express our anger in godly ways. If we're not doing that already, and we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So goodbye, unhealthy, destructive expressions of anger. We're done with you. And we're going to say hello to healthy, constructive expressions of anger. And here are some characteristics of godly, healthy, constructive expressions of anger. Here we go. There's a lot of them. It's anger communicated. It's okay to tell people when you're angry. It's okay to tell people when you're angry when you are motivated by love. Remembering how patient and loving God has been with you. Remember how God has treated you over the years. With all of the ways you've let him down. Just think about that. Just think about that. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. I want to tell you something about the Christian life. We are always responding to Jesus, what he has done for us first. Starting right there on the cross. But in our lives, our whole life is a response to what he has already done. Remember, we love because he first loved us. It is always a response. We want to know Jesus and respond. Healthy anger is caring. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Boy, there's a sermon right in that one verse. Stop the unwholesome talk. Stop the talk that tear down others, but instead only use words that are going to build other people up. in the way that they need. And you know what's telling someone else about their sin? That's not unloving. It depends how you say it. But we need to hear. You know, sometimes telling people we love about their sin, well, I should say all the time, if it's done properly, may be hurtful, but it's not harmful. It may be hurtful, but it's not harmful. Think of a dentist. Some of you don't want to even go there, right? A dentist may hurt you, but he's not there to harm you. And in fact, if the dentist didn't do his job and didn't hurt you, he would be harming you. And sometimes when we don't tell other people what they need to hear, we actually harm them. We're not loving them. We're not loving them. Then it may benefit those who listen. And guess what? What we say and others hear, they pick up on. It benefits them too. Saints, we care about the words that come out of our mouths. Can I get an amen on that? Yeah. We value all our relationships because God values all of our relationships. Let me say that again. We value all our relationships because God values all our relationships. Constructive anger is unselfish. Unhealthy expressions of anger are always selfishly motivated. I win, or I'm trying to get even. Healthy expressions of anger are others-centered, others-centered. We don't have to win in the exchange with others because we've already won. We've already won. We're already on. We got to think eternally. Listen, we're going to be with Christ forever. We're already on the winning side. We don't have to fight to get on the top of the heap. Jesus has already put us on the top of the heap. God has made us winners already because we know him. Healthy anger has a mentality of we win. We're searching for even more than, you've heard say, hey, look for win-wins or I win, you win type things. No, we want to go beyond that. We want our relationship to win. We're looking for we wins. When I was in the business world, a company bought a small business, and I was on part of the integration team. We were the buying company. That's always the best side to be on. But myself and one of the salespeople had a testy exchange one time in a meeting when we were getting together. And this was BC. This was before Christ. I wasn't a Christian at the time. That doesn't excuse me, but he called me up. He took the initiative to call me up, and he said, I'd like to work things out with you. And so we talked. He told me what he needed. I told him what I needed. And you know what we did? We committed that we were going to have a good working relationship. We said we were going to work together, and it was going to be good. And if something went awry, we're not going to have testy exchange. We're going to talk to each other. And you know what? We became great coworkers. We became good friends outside of work. And that's what can happen when we do things God's way. The key was we worked out a we-win situation. Healthy anger is also proactive. It's also proactive. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Peacemakers, not peace acceptors. People who go out and make peace. If repairs are needed in a relationship, a healthy expression of anger initiates repair work. It doesn't wait for the other person. People often say to me, well, if I'm married, who should be the initiator? You know what you want me to say, right? It's the more spiritual person should be the initiator. How's that? You decide. A godly communicator also responds when confronted by others. Sometimes we're going to get confronted because we're going to sin against others. No one likes confrontation, but a godly man or woman who asks God for the courage to move ahead, even if it's uncomfortable, to be a healthy anger person, you can't be a conflict avoider. You cannot be a conflict avoider. A conflict avoider causes more problems. Healthy anger is responsible for what I did wrong and communicates that responsibility with no excuses. Healthy anger says, okay, I'm going to accept responsibility for A, B, and C. I was wrong in this. On the other hand, healthy anger is firm, not hard, not soft, about not accepting blame. I'm not going to accept blame for your bad behavior, and you shouldn't accept blame for my bad behavior. I am responsible for my behavior, but you got to take responsibility for your behavior. I don't make you do anything. Nobody makes you do anything. It's your choice. And so it's important in a good, healthy relationship that both parties take responsibility for their parts of the problem. The first response of healthy anger is to be a great listener. Listening to understand, not listening to refute. Do you hear that? Listening to understand, not listening to refute. James 1:19 says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. But natural man, most of us, when we get angry first, and we start talking and listening. What's that? Right? When the other person's talking, we're looking to refute them. That's all we're thinking about. And we probably cut them off when we're angry. That's the wrong way to do it. Next week, we're going to spend the whole sermon on how to listen to avoid anger. How to listen to be a proactive listener to avoid anger in the first place. You can do it. You can do it. We are to become trusting. Trusting. Trusting to believe that God's will for our communication works. It does. The more I found over the years that I communicate godly, which includes communicating my anger, the better my relationships have gotten. You might say, but Pastor, you just don't know this other person. And I would say, you're right, I don't know them. But I know God. I know God. And he's always right. And remember this, Romans 12:18. Paul writes to us and he says, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you. If you got a Bible, underline that. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Listen, God is not going to hold you responsible for everybody else here today, but he is going to hold you responsible for you. So if you reach out to another person, you communicate your anger in a healthy way, and they don't respond well, God is going to give you peace because you did what was right. You did what was right. There it is. There it is. That's the vision we're shooting for. That's the vision right there. So you have on your piece of paper, hopefully, two columns. One, what you're doing wrong, and on the other side, the way you're going to do it in the future from here on out. You have two different lists. Stop doing the one side and make sure you're doing the other side. Make sure you're doing the other side. And you might be saying, Pastor, I'm so far away from doing that. I just don't know how I can get to do that. I'm not anything like that. I can't get there. Well, you might be here right now, and what we presented a vision. But I want to tell you, over the next few weeks, we're going to give you step by step how you can get there. You might not see how to get there, but I want to make sure you have that vision right now. This is where we're heading to, and you can have that. And more than that, God wants you to have that. Jesus died so that you can have this healthy expressions of anger, that you can be godly. See, as long as you're making progress, that's the important thing. And for some of you that have been, you know, struggling in relationships, you know, if it took a year, 10 years, or 20 years to get to where you are, you know, one of these, it ain't going to turn around overnight. But you can start making it better, and that should give you hope. That should give you hope. You can do this. I want you to know that. You can do this. That can be you. But you got to work at it. You got to work at it. My experience is that you make one step forward, God will push you ahead two steps. You make another step forward, he'll push you two or three steps ahead. You begin cooperating to God, and he will do things you would never believe that he could do. You can do this because you have God on your side. But you got to engage this material outside of Sunday service and then work on applying it. Work on applying it. Together, it's going to help if you work with the other person that you're having the relationship problem with. That gets really powerful. But you got to be honest with each other. There may be walls built up, but if you are willing to be vulnerable, God will work. God will work. And let me leave you with this thought. I want to ask you a question. Who should be the angriest person in all of creation? Who should be the angriest person? God. Maybe Jesus even. More so. Because he's the one that had to pay for the sins of everybody personally. As Jesus and the three persons of the Trinity look down and see what's going on in this world, their righteous wrath, it is righteous for what they see going on, and even what they see going on in the church, how we hurt each other in the church. But their righteous wrath has been turned away. It's been turned away by Jesus. All that unrighteousness of ours has been put on the cross. Has been put on the cross, and the Holy Spirit has come and lived in us to turn it around for us. Listen to this. You would think God, who is righteously angry about this thing, could do some real damage to this world, but that's not our God. Listen to what the psalmist says. Psalm 103, 8 to 13. The Lord is compassionate. Now, biblical compassion is different than what we hear from our politicians. Compassionate means pity and sympathy with that drives us to action. Drives us to action. That's real compassion. You know, compassion, biblical compassion is, how about them Yanks? No. Biblical compassion says, oh, and gets down and does something about it, tries to help. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor we harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. I want to read that again because I want to hear that again. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Cross. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. That's how we are treated by God. Because we have felt the Lord's compassion in our life, even though we deserve his righteous anger. Let us respond to his compassion by extending our compassion to others. Starting with the people we came here with today. Even when they anger us. Remember, if you remember that, that's going to be your very first but very important step toward healthy expressions of anger. Let's pray. Lord, you have given us a vision today, a vision of healthy anger, Lord, the kind of anger that heals our relationship with others, the kind of anger, Lord, that respects other people, the kind of anger that worships you, the kind of expressions, I should say, of anger that does those things. And so, dear God, we just pray that you help us. We're feeble. We can't get there on our own. It's too hard. But we know we can get there with the help of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we commit to you right now that we want to be that vision. We want those things to describe us. And we pray for your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.